greet you this morning in Jesus' name. Thankful this morning to be a part of the kingdom of God. This morning I want to talk about the kingdom of God. We sang there many ideas or thoughts, and we committed ourselves when we sing this, and we trust it's in our hearts that we'll be ready to do His will. That's what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. Submitting ourselves, not to our will, not that our will be done, but that His will be done. Whatever that may be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Father, we just thank You for this opportunity to gather together, and Lord, we just pray that You'd fill us with Your Spirit. Lord, give us wisdom as we open Your Word. We thank You for this day. We thank You for Jesus who died and rose again for us, that we might have eternal life, that we might be born again, that we might enter into the glorious kingdom of our Lord. Help us, Father, I pray, to see Your kingdom clearly, Father. We just thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thought about that before. There's also a verse that talks about John the Baptist. How John the Baptist, Jesus said, the least that is in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than he. And I've thought a lot about these statements. Except your righteousness, during times past, I haven't understood it, and still don't completely. But I just had some thoughts this week about that. Except your righteousness exceed the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whenever we often hear that, well, you're just trying to obey. We have those verses about that we have liberty now, that we can do whatever we want to. People tell us that all the time, but Jesus said that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Another place Jesus talks about the Pharisees and how they gave, and even down to the different seeds, how they would give their offerings to God. And he said, these ought you to do, but you've overlooked mercy and judgment and truth. Whenever he was talking about your righteousness exceeding He expects us to be righteous. And our righteousness not only is to be of the outward appearance, but it's to be in our heart as well. The Pharisees had the outward appearance of righteousness. They looked righteous. They looked holy. People today so often throw out righteousness and holiness, looking right, dressing right, talking right, and try to conform to this world because they don't want to be like the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus didn't say try to avoid the appearance of the scribes and Pharisees. He said, except your righteousness exceed them. You can be trained to live right. You can be trained to do what's right. You can be trained to dress right. But if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to choose even deeper than that. That is to do right and be a part of his kingdom. Do what they're doing. Said in one place, whatever they tell you to do, do it. But don't do like they say and do not. Don't just tell others how to live and then don't do it yourself. That's what he hated about them. They've become the scapegoat of all that's evil in Christianity. But it wasn't because they had the appearance of godliness. It was because inside they were dead. Inside they lived and had the framework of living within a religious organization and being part of a holy group, but inside they were still dirty, full of dead men's bones, Jesus said. Today, we're living in a time like it talks about in James. People professing that they have faith where they have none. James said that the devils believe and tremble. They believe. The devils believe and tremble. They've got, today, people profess to believe, but they don't tremble anymore. The devils even tremble. They're wise enough to fear God and tremble. We believe and don't even tremble at his word. Isaiah said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and tremble at the word of God. I want to talk about this morning about the kingdom of God. What does it mean that your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees? I want to give you a couple of examples. Whenever we talk about going to war or not going to war, often we talk about, almost sound like a pacifist. A pacifist is someone who is just opposed to any kind of fighting at all. One time I tried to explain to a man about about how we wouldn't go to war, but yet we would still support the government and their responsibility to take care of things. He couldn't understand that, and I didn't explain it too well because I didn't know for sure. I was just trying to follow what I believed. Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, else would my servants fight. Whenever we think of the kingdom of God, that doesn't mean we could not fight. It means we will not fight. It doesn't mean that we're not able to. It means we're living for another kingdom. Real Christians fight with flesh and blood and sin. They don't get involved in wars. There's nothing to fight and kill for in this world. This world's kingdoms are not worth fighting and killing for. It's not that we can't do it, or we wouldn't do it, or that we have this gooey love that no one would ever get hurt, or that no one would ever die. We're not going to take this world, we're not going to take someone's life for something in this kingdom or this world. Our kingdom is much higher than this. A Pharisee could say, I won't go to war, and still love this world. It's not that we're totally against war, even though it's bad. In the Old Testament, God commanded the people of Israel to fight and go to war. He had established a kingdom on this earth in the Old Testament. And now in the New, His kingdom's not in this world anymore. His kingdom is in our hearts and in heaven. This world and God are forever separated. He has washed his hands of it. He's through with it. He don't want to patch it up anymore. This world, when God sent his son into this world, and this world rose up and crucified him, he's done with it. He did all that he could do for this world, and he's through with it. But there's people in this world that he's still trying to call out of it. He's still making and holding the offer of grace that you and I can come out of this world and live for him. So whenever the world talks about war, yeah, well, God still says that the government doesn't bear the sword in vain. And there will be wars. There will be good and bad wars, people fighting for good and bad causes. But you and I's cause is much higher than that. It's not that we're opposed to this government bearing the sword. But we're not a part of that government. Our government is the kingdom of heaven. We bear the sword of the word of God. Not the sword of punishment for doing evil. God has ordained that the government would take care of that. And he's called us to bear the sword of the word of God. To reprove the world of sin. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Riches. This world's riches. Lay them up. Don't lay them up for yourself. I don't know how many times people have used the verses in the Bible about riches or the talents or some other parable, and they try to explain that as a way to just try to be real cautious about their money. This world's money means nothing. We ought to have a heart that it's just paper. That's all it is. To strive to get the very lowest dollar that you can buy something at. What's that saying to people? That's saying you really care about how many of those dollars you keep for yourself. They mean nothing. Riches mean nothing. It's like Monopoly money. We know the little game Monopoly, and you play and you're given money and you try to see how much money you can keep hold of and how much property you can buy. And in the end, you fold it all up and put it back in the box. If you're prudent, if you're ugly, you just lay it over in the floor somewhere. But it all just winds up and you go on and play another game. That's the way this world's riches are. It's just something we're using for a while. It's just something that we're given to play with while we're in this earth. Really, if you think about it, what's the difference between play money and real money? It's all just paper, and it's all just printed, something printed on it. In reality, they're worth about the same thing. It doesn't matter how many zeros are printed on the end of it or how big the numbers are. One of these days, we're going to put it back in the box and the game's going to be over. And it's worthless. Why strive for it? It's nothing. It means nothing. Honor in this world means nothing. When our kingdom is all about riches, it's about the riches of this kingdom, this world. It's not about the kingdom of heaven. Whenever we think of the Beatitudes, says, rejoice, be exceeding glad when people speak evil of you. Sometimes our attitudes, or sometimes we're so concerned. We should rejoice when we're a part of the kingdom of God. I think the one young man in Mexico that got excited, he's fallen by the way now. But for a while he was excited, and he was preaching and going around from town to town preaching. And he came to these way back up in the mountains, and he came to this village, and they told him, quit preaching. And he kept on preaching. They were having a party there. And he just kept on preaching. And the police came. And they said, we're going to put you in jail. And he said, I'd be glad to go to your jail. It'd be an honor for me to go to your jail. Put me in your jail. They saw that didn't shake him up. So they said, we're just liable to let these people, they're all mad at you anyway, we're just liable to turn and go away and just let these people just kill you. And he said, I'd be glad to let these people kill me. Put that together with your money. Put that together with your wars. That's the kingdom of God. It's upside down from this world. We try to hang on to our honor and our respect. But whenever this world realizes that they have nothing to threaten us with or to give us that we want, that's when they'll be concerned that there's something serious going on around here. That's when the world gets turned upside down and the kingdom of God is manifesting itself again. When the people of God see the kingdom of God, do what you will to me in this world. This isn't my home. We wouldn't be afraid of going into people. We've heard of the things in the about the early Christians when plagues would come through. People would, if they thought one of their family members was sick, they'd put them out the door. And it was only the Christians who weren't afraid to take care of the sick. Because their lives didn't matter anymore. Do what you will to me. I'm living for Jesus. Do what you will to me. My kingdom's not of this world. I don't have to prove anything to this world. Been blessed a couple of times this week. Just several times this week. About some of the brethren in some of the other places that are willing to lose jobs where jobs are precious because they're getting in between them and God. That people denying taking promotions because it's stirring people up. The people are getting upset because they were picked to go above, and they'd rather have peace than take a promotion from this world. Where people are willing to dedicate themselves to following Jesus. I've just been so encouraged with Brother in India this week. He went out preaching and the people gathered around and got upset with him and someone called the police. The police wanted money. He said, I don't have any money. I've only got the word of God. And they kept him for a while and put him in their jail for a little while. Then they let him go finally. It's still not over. But he's rejoicing about it. He's not lamenting about being persecuted. He's not worried about his rights being offended. He's part of the kingdom of God. He's seeing the kingdom of God. Accept your righteousness. Exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus. Jesus gives us the examples of the kingdom when he gives the Beatitudes in the sermon. Blessed are you poor. You know why it's a blessing? Because it just doesn't matter to us. It just doesn't matter. It's not important. We've got the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that weep now, that are suffering, that are meek. Go through those things. These are the commandments that Jesus is talking about keeping and teaching. It's not just a bunch of rules. We can keep those rules. We dress modestly. Not because it's a rule, because that's the way we ought to be dressing. And our goal is not just to obey the rules. Our goal is, I don't want to offend my brother because I love my neighbor. And I don't want him stumbling at the way I look. Bible says it's not he that says the right things, but he that doeth righteousness will be accepted of God. He that doeth righteousness. Bible says that we have no need that any man teach us. You and I each know whenever God is speaking to us, what he wants from us. Whenever we start seeking God with heart, full heart, we can hear God speaking. The Bible says the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. In Romans, it talks about that. We don't have to have someone sit down and tell us just exactly what's wrong. When I was in Columbia last week, there was a couple that listened to the preaching. And after we were done preaching, they began asking some questions. one of them was, one of the questions was about decorating herself, altering herself. I never said anything about that during the message. But after the message, we got talking about following Jesus. She asked a question. She knew, without anyone else saying a word, what she was doing was wrong. That's why she had to question it. That's why she had to ask the question, to see if she could get someone to approve it, so that she, her conscience could be quieted. God hasn't left us without His Spirit, His Comforter, without His hope. We know what He wants. Get up and do it. We know what He wants us to quit doing. Quit doing it. It's not a ritual we go through. It's doing what we know to do is right. That's why we don't have a bunch of rules and standards. Because we're going to stand before God and give an account of our life according to our righteousness, according to how He was able to govern us. Not by how someone was able to make a bunch of rules and we were just willing to go along and let someone else's conscience decide how the hard things or how to decide how we're going to live. Working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Had a brother this week called and said he'd had a dream. Woke up in the middle of the night, scared to death. He had dreamed that he was standing by a pool, a little creek of pure water, living water. And he heard a voice beside him, behind him, say, "Are you going to forsake the living water?" And he woke up. Are you going to forsake the living water? He couldn't go back to sleep. It scared him to death. And he knew just exactly what that dream meant. And it didn't say a word. The dream never inclined anything about do this or do that or don't do this or don't do that. Just simply said, "Will you forsake the living water?" And he knew just exactly what God wanted him to do. He didn't need for a man to tell him. Sometimes God uses men to remind us and show us, to teach us. To bring it to light. But when God speaks, "Will you forsake the living water?" And He's calling us to forsake something or to live for something or to do something. Will we hear Him? It's he that does righteousness that will be received. You know what God wants from you. If God's calling you or leading you or trying for you to quit doing something asking you to draw nearer, to get rid of something, to give something, whatever it is, listen to him. I can't tell you what everyone's on everyone's mind. And he doesn't do that just every minute of the day. This brother said it wasn't even the thing that he thought he was doing so bad that God was talking about. God wanted his heart. God didn't have his heart. That's what amazed me whenever I was converted. I started seeking the Bible, and I thought God was going to really rain down fire and brimstone because of some of the actions that I was doing. But he didn't mention any of those things. He went right to the exact thing that controlled my heart. Me. He said, I want this. But after he gets that, the riches, the honor, going to war, and all those other things, just don't seem to matter much anymore. Because we have a new king and a new kingdom. That's what the kingdom of heaven's about. We can get so caught up in trying to understand everything. Just offer yourself to God one of these days. Every once in a while. I don't know how to phrase that. He'll just say, are you going to forsake the living water? You'll know what he's talking about. Might not say it in just that way. But when you get really serious about following him, he'll just give you a little nudge and say, what are you going to do about this? Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Just do it. You don't need a certificate. You don't need a big ceremony. If you're going to follow Jesus, just rise up and start following him. You don't need to have a big testimony about it. You don't have to be able to say, oh, the sun, light shone brighter than the sun. And a voice came down from heaven and told me what to do. just rise up and start doing it. The Bible says about being born again, Jesus said, when you're born again, it's like the wind. The Spirit is like the wind. You can't see it, but you can see what it does. You can make a big splash about being converted and say, oh, I got saved, and I just cried and cried, and then I felt better. I jumped up and everybody shouted. Or you can just see what God wants you to do and start doing it. And I'll guarantee you people will notice it when you start obeying the Lord. That's when you're confessing with your mouth, with your heart. When you just start obeying the Lord. Maybe it's something you got to go fix. Maybe it's something you need to just start doing that you haven't been doing. Maybe it's just, who knows what it is, but you do. God does. Rise up and do it. When Jesus calls, just rise up and follow him. I'm just so blessed. The first message I ever preached was, he rose up, left all, and followed him. That's what Matthew did when Jesus came walking by. He rose up, left all, and followed him. That don't sound too religious, does it? He just rose up, left all, and followed him. Praise the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you again for your word. We ask your blessing upon it. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name.